Matt and Alex.
We are going to the red light district.
On Triple J.
Here I am, podcast. Signed, sealed, delivered. It's yours.
Hey, we're getting waves from Dr. Carl right
crap.
Now.
Crap. Someone is filming me singing that. Hey, Dr. Carl.
Dr. Carl and Co.
Mates.
Oh,
come
what a
in.
Hat.
Come
he's,
on in.
He's got the...
Oh, yeah, someone. Come on in, Dr. Carl. Come on in. We're just recording our podcast intro. Come and, on the microphone. Who have you brought with us? Come and tell us on the microphone, Dr. Carl. We're recording our podcast for the listeners who have downloaded
this
the show.
This is wonderful. I'm very lucky to bring in the prize winners for the Eureka Prizes. And these are Anna and Claire and their teacher, Rachel, who have come down from Cairns. And what they did this amazing video, and they've won thousands of dollars of Sleek Geek money, and they're taking it back.
What?
Yeah, and what they did was this thing on owls. Now, here's some weird stuff about owls. You know how we've got two ears, and they're pretty well mirror images?
Yeah.
Owls have got ears that are not mirror images.
Asymmetrical ears.
And one is up and one is down. So they can do really good finding of where the target is. And the whole face cavity around the eyes acts as a funnel to send the sound to the ears. And the eyes can't move, so if they want to look at something, they have to...
That's why they have to turn their head.
Yeah, yeah. And then they discovered something about when they eat. So, Anna Claire, come into the microphone there and tell what you discovered about the vomiting. Yeah, come on in, come on in. Getting closer. Yeah, that's good.
So when owls, like, they swallow their food whole... And so when it passes into their digestive system, the indigestible parts, such as the fur and bones, get compressed into a pellet and are expelled through their mouth. And you can...
through their mouth, not through the other end. The mouth! I never knew that!
That's pretty cool.
But wait till we hear what they did with it. Go on.
And you can take the pellet and dissect it and classify the bones which are inside the pellet. And then find out what the owl has actually eaten.
Right. Little owl pellets.
And for this, they won a prize. So they actually did their own little research, big research, and won a prize and a flight to Sydney. And so, and lots of money. And they're going to go back to Cairns today, but they're going to go back with a prize. And who knows where they'll go in their scientific careers.
Oh,
certainly.
So exciting.
How old are you guys?
Thank you.
14 and 15.
Yeah.
Oh my word. We weren't doing anything like this at school. This is outrageous. I'm so jealous.
All right. Well, congratulations, guys. Thanks for making an impromptu entrance into the Matt and Alex podcast intro.
We've taken it over. Oh, we're so naughty.
That's all right. And thanks, Dr. Carl, for popping in as well.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's enjoy the podcast.
Yeah.
Some good times ahead.
And if you see a little pellet on the ground and you live near owls, do not eat it. It is indigestible. Bone and fur. Okay. Stay well away. Courtney Barnett, pedestrian at best on Triple J. You also heard Violent Soho giving us Blanket. Matt and Alex joining you at 24 minutes past six on this Thursday morning. Hope you're well. It's the first day of spring. So we're chatting firsts.
Well, it's the first day that the new $5 note.
Yep.
As well. You might see it around the streets poking its little head out of a cash register being like, please take me home.
A little Michelle in your wallet.
Little Michelle Pfeiffer.
Little Pfeiffer.
Ooh,
Dave wallet. From Aspera, we are chatting first, and your mate claims to be the first at doing something as well.
Yeah, how you going, guys?
Good thanks, Dave. What does your friend claim he's the first at?
Well, I met this bloke when I was travelling overseas a few years back, and he was... He's what some people call carny folk, but he likes to call himself a showman. His family own a travelling carnival, I suppose, in New Zealand. There, legend of a bloke, and we're having a few beers, and I don't know, it must have been a drinking game or something. It was like, what are you the first of that most people wouldn't know about you? And his claim to fame was that him and his dad were the first to ride a roller coaster in the new millennium. They timed it, but they were up there ready to go and riding around in a roller coaster.
Was it his own roller coaster, the traveling circus?
Yeah, it was his family's carnival. So
okay, I mean the fact that it was in New Zealand. This is making sense.
Well, New Zealand, you're right.
First, you know, would have been the first to reach it.
We're closest to the international date line, straight after
finger
midnight.
On the button as soon as it goes midnight. I mean, they were risking the perils of Y2K even being up there, you know. I mean, they're brave boys for doing that.
To go haywire and throw you off, okay. Because I doubt most of the other theme parks, amusement parks, would have even been open over the
year.
Haven't running at midnight.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if theirs was even running, but because, you know, they owned it. They could do what they want.
They had access. All right. Well, look, we're not gonna say that he's not. All right. We're not gonna say that. Do you believe him?
Oh yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, why not? I reckon, Davey's mate, first to ride a roller coaster in the new millennium.
Lock it in. Form an orderly queue. Thank you very much, Dave.
No worries, mate.
Let us know. Hands down, Texas come in. Hands down, all jokes aside, I'm the first to put chips on a McDonald's cheeseburger.
Turn it up.
We want real first, okay?
Dead set. Nah. Fair dinkum. I am the first person to have ever done
who
that.
Who is it? Ollie Ward reckons he was the first person to start. It's like a phrase. It wasn't Skucks. It was something else. It's like... No, you're not, Woods. All right.
Well, the first time I heard this song was listening to Triple J's Hottest 100, and I was like, damn, where have I been? I've been out in the wilderness. It's the Wombats and the live version of their track, Let's Dance to Joy Division.
Keep your firsts coming in, 0439757555. Go, Triple J.
And in cricket, Australia has won the fourth one-day international against Sri Lanka by 6 wickets. Sri Lanka set Australia a total of 212 to win.
Thank you very much, Ruby Jones.
Hey, no worries.
Happy first day of spring to you. Have you ever been a first? Have you been the first person to do something?
I reckon I might have been the first person to sing horses on Triple J.
Well, I mean, we really gave it a solid crack many times over the years.
That could not be true. I mean, Triple J has a strong 40-year history. Daryl Braithwaite has been, I'm sure, has popped by. Other people would have got involved.
Were you the first newsreader to lose it uncontrollably over the naming of Boaty McBoatface?
First and only.
maybe. There's a few that have come in on 0439757555. And I mean, look, what this has taught me is that some people are dead set delusional. All right. James says, I was the first guy to wear a horse head mask. Someone here says, I coined the number 11T. No, you didn't. Okay. This one's for Alex. My mum coined the term mish. It's a warnable word.
Right. Okay.
That says Nicole, for lower economic community.
Short for commission.
Okay.
Mish. But that's my, you know, warnable lexicon coming through.
Oh, he has
not
this.
A great term.
My mate Robbo swears that he started the phrase winner, winner, chicken dinner and gets super offended when anyone disagrees. Robbo, turn it up. Oh, my gosh.
Well, what about Garth's text? Garth, regular texter to the Triple J Breakfast Show. The last text that you may remember was a little while ago. We're talking about tattoos. He said, I got tattooed the name and footprints of my child on my chest. I then found out through DNA testing that it was not mine, so I got it removed quite painfully and expensively. Well, Garth texted back in this morning because he's got a first.
Yeah, Garth, Sorry, I laugh at really bad times, okay? That's just a thing that I have. It's not good. Anyway, Garth said, hey, boys, remember the time that I texted and told you about the baby that wasn't mine? Well, she was the first baby born on Christmas Day in 2010. The next day, the hospital gave us a hamper delivered by Santa Claus. There we go. There's ups and downs.
Now, speaking of big calls, okay, we got a huge one here. Blake from Penrith, good morning to you.
G'day, fellas. How's it going?
Good, thanks. Now, are you the first or is it a friend?
Oh, it was a collective. Me and my mates at school in probably year 9 or 10, probably 8 years ago.
Yeah, you're a little bit hazy on the details already. You're not instilling me with confidence, mate.
Oh, mate, it was a long time ago. I've had many a beer between now and then.
Okay, so you reckon you were the first to do what?
We invented planking.
Whoa.
I mean, I got to tell you, I just looked at Ruby Jones's face then. And it wasn't a face of belief. Okay.
So eight or nine years ago, you're saying. So we're talking about 2008 here. You're claiming to have invented planking.
Yeah, around then. Yeah.
Okay.
Everywhere that there was a bench or a brick wall, canteen lines, even a basketball hoop, the football post, anything that you could lay horizontal on, we took photos of all of our mates being propped up and laying in a straight position on it.
Okay. Now, did you see a logical kind of progression from when you did it to when it blew up? Like, did you see the momentum build, or 2 years later did suddenly it turn and just pop up again?
Well, no, it kind of just popped up again. Like, this was when things were posted on the internet, but it wasn't like things just went viral. That's pretty funny.
Okay, well, I've looked it up on knowyourmeme.com. It says planking a photo fad, which involves lying face down with arms to the sides in unusual public spaces, became popular amongst UK Facebook users in 2010, and it started gaining momentum across the country in March 2011 when pro rugby player Dave Wolfman Williams planked after a rugby try versus the Newcastle Knights.
Okay, now, Blake, did you call it planking?
Yes, we did.
Oh, all right, Blake. I don't know, mate.
Can you look up have you got photos from that time or anything?
If you can give me like a day so I can get home and look on one of my old laptops.
Mate, take as long as you need. Take as long as you need.
Your boys will get one.
All right, well, we're waiting in anticipation. Look, so far this myth has not been necessarily busted, so we'll see.
Thanks, Blake.
Okay. Thanks, Blake.
See you, fellas.
Thank you, Ruby Jones.
See you later.
And on which the first of the new Australian $5 notes are being released into circulation today.
Yay!
Themselves, the first currency, at least in Australia, to have tactile little parts on the note, so people with vision impairment are able to tell them apart.
Yay! So day of firsts.
It's a momentous day.
Yeah, it's a very big, important day. Very exciting. So we're asking you what you're the first at. If you've ever been the first at anything.
Tell us your firsts. A few people, I reckon, just making it up.
You reckon? You reckon? Someone here says, Sam here from New South Wales. In early 2000, I used to put vanilla essence in cola at school discos. Then a couple of years later, vanilla Coke came out. Satellites. No, mate, not in the early 2000s. Oh, my God.
This one's pretty good as well. There's almost no point sending this because no one believes me.
I love the start of that already.
What a great start. But I was the first youngin to start wearing trucker's hats.
Oh, my God.
I got one at Vinnie's and started wearing it and slowly saw it catching on. Before that, you could not buy a surf brand trucker hat. Could only get a promo one with like fishing brand or power tool company. No one under 40 was wearing them until this trendsetter started going around. That's an interesting one.
Sure. Someone else says, I was the first person to get into Game of Thrones. All right. All right. Now, look, we've got two here that are actually.
I want to go another one. My mate's dad claims he can remember his own childbirth. The man's the size of a bear. He has a big beard, wears a trench coat, has the laugh of a serial killer. Legend of a bloke. I believe him. The first person to be able to remember their own childbirth.
So there's two more that we need to address. The first one, very exciting indeed, okay. Tommy P from Dural says, I believe I was the first person to do a shoey at Everest Base Camp in Nepal and think it's still the world's highest shoey to date. It was minus 25 at the time and was on Australia Day. Okay. That is, I want to hear more, Tommy P. I want to hear more. And if you think you've done a higher shoey or you were the first person to do a more adventurous shoey, let us know.
Danny from Beaconsfield. This looks like a first that is about to take place. Good morning to you.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thanks. Now, what are you getting ready for?
I'm getting ready to go over to the Paralympics.
Pretty exciting. Yeah. In Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And you're going to be a first for something. What are you going to be the first of?
it's kind of a long title, but first female Australian sailing judge to go to the Olympics or the Paralympics.
Right. So you're going to be judging the sailing. How do you judge sailing?
That's a bit complicated. Basically, we just sit out on a motorboat and make sure that they're not cheating.
Oh, okay. How do they cheat? What are the sneak? What, like a cheeky little, motor at the back?
I would love to see someone try that.
You know, one of those fans, those handheld fans that people like hold onto their faces. Maybe they could just chuck that in the water.
You could try that, or just like blowing on the sail. Like.
Definitely. That'd be incredible. Have you ever been in a situation in your career of judging, much like Jane Saville coming into the stadium for gold in the walking, and the judge there gave her the red, disqualified, missed out on the gold? Have you ever had to break dreams in that way?
Not that I can remember, but it's possible that I have and just haven't noticed.
It doesn't mean as much to you. You're just doing your job there, Danny.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We're very excited for you. How long are you going over for?
I'll be there for about 2 weeks.
Oh, man, I'm so jealous.
And how many races do you have to judge?
I calculated it to be about 48 races over a week and a bit. Yeah.
Really? Damn. And is there like any really sort of high level, you know, finals, or is there anything like that?
No, it's a series of races. And then at the end of the racing, all the scores are calculated, and it's just sort of who's averaged the best.
Any Aussie sailors that you can turn a blind eye to, you know what I mean, Dan?
Oh, I couldn't possibly say that on the radio.
Oh, of course not.
No.
We all understand.
The integrity is high in Danny from Beaconsfield. Have a great time, Danny.
Thanks very much, guys.
And just there, what you might see on some trees around, given that it's the first day of spring, the 1st of September, that was the Avalanches with Colours. Hope you're well. Matt and Alex are with you on Triple J, and it is 11 minutes past 7.
And Matt, it's time to welcome into the studio someone who's spent time in a few of the more dangerous places around the world. I've been to Syria, Iraq, and is currently in Melbourne as well. And as we know, later on at night, you can go and meet some unsavoury characters.
Place.
Exactly, the most dangerous of all. It's a very good morning to Molly Crabapple. Good morning to you, Molly.
It's a pleasure to be here.
What have you been up to since you've landed in Australia, Molly?
I've been in Australia for 2 days so far, but the highlight of my trip is I went to the Melbourne Zoo and I got to sketch these fat little wombats and these cute meerkats. So I have just a sketchbook of animals behaving badly now.
Sensational. Well, you are a sketch artist. You're an artist for a living and have drawn many things. What is it about the wombat's fauna? If Matt or myself were going to sit down and draw a wombat, what do you think is crucial to really highlight their fat little bottoms?
So they remind me almost of fur-covered pigs whose extraneous features have been smoothed off, so they're just purely rotundness in moving form.
For sure.
Now, Melbourne, it's got a pretty decent nightlife, Molly, and you have recently released a book called Drawing Blood.
Hence you being in town for the Melbourne Writers' Festival.
Yeah, and I mean, you used to be the house artist at a place called The Box, which I visited in London about 8 months ago, and I got to tell you, you must have seen some wild shit in your days.
Well, you know, it depends on what you count as wild shit, but The Box was an amazing experience. It's all kind of hazy in memory right now. I think I'm getting senile in my later years. But what that meant was that I sat on a little step next to the stage and I would draw the most like brilliant, crazy acts in the world. I would draw Rudy Macaggi, who is this Italian acrobat, doing a backflip and catching himself right before his head was chopped off by a chainsaw. I kid you not, man. It was death-defying. I would draw Rose Wood, who was a trans performer, while she went through this like act that was like Weimar Berlin, where she basically beautifully mimed out sleeping with, then killing one of the wealthy customers of the club, and then going out wearing his suit.
Goodness me.
Now, you went from working at places like The Box and doing a lot of burlesque illustrations to being heavily involved in political movements and protests. One of the things that really sort of caught my eye was, well, the title of a piece that you did, which was called It Don't Get No Better Than This. I mean, you had the opportunity to draw some of the scenes around Guantanamo Bay, but even just the title of that has such an interesting backstory to it.
One of the things that a lot of people don't know about Guantanamo Bay is that in addition to being a gulag where hundreds of Muslim men have been tortured and extrajudicially held, it's also a naval base. And so because it's a naval base, it has all of the things that a naval base ordinarily does, like a McDonald's or a bars or a karaoke bar or even a gift shop. And when you go into the gift shop, there's this very horrifying resonance to it because it's like as if there was a gift shop at Buchenwald selling kitschy German beer steins. It's this attempt to pretend that Guantanamo is not a place that's known for atrocity, that Guantanamo is a perfectly normal place, and so it'd be perfectly normal to sell a T-shirt for children that said Guantanamo Bay, Little Princess.
That seriously just blows my mind because from all reports in the news and everything, this is quite a serious place where a lot of, you know, bad things have happened. What were your experiences, you know, being able to go inside and draw it?
At the time I was going, there was a hunger strike. About 100 men were hunger striking to protest indefinite detention. Dozens were being force-fed twice a day, which is many major medical bodies likened to torture and a very, very painful process. The military refused to call it force feeding. They called it e-feeding was their term. And so they took the journalists into the hospital and they showed us the chair with which they would shackle these guys to when the guys were being force fed. And they showed us the tubing that they would force through the guys' nostrils into their stomach. And they showed us the can of protein shake that they would pump through the tubing. And it was all done in this sort of blithe, happy way, like we're not doing anything wrong. It was so American. I think every country has its own style of doing bad things. And this was done in the most American possible way, the way that says we're not going to be good, but we're going to be nice, or we're going to pretend to be nice.
So giving people food, that's a nice thing to do. And so this is how, and this is the way we are able to nourish them with the protein and various things like that.
Exactly. And they're so ungrateful for not wanting to be shackled to a chair and have a protein shake pumped into their stomach twice a day so that we can keep them alive through their extrajudicial detention that has no end in sight. You know, so ungrateful. That would be the American military psychology.
On Triple J, we're chatting to Molly Crabapple in the country for the Melbourne Writers Festival, also hitting the Sydney Dangerous Ideas. And we've been to, you know, plenty of places, Molly. I want to ask you about being arrested as well, your time in Syria. It's quite interesting stuff, particularly as you're there sketching those things that you see. That's coming up in a moment.
On Triple J, that was Molly's Chambers by Kings of Leon. Hope you are well. Matt and Alex are here with you, chatting to a Molly. Molly Crabapple, political artist, activist, writer. She's just released a book a few months ago now called Drawing Blood, and we're exploring some of the themes.
Yeah, Guantanamo Bay, a couple of visits for Molly. Australia, you said each country has their own way of doing things. Australia has its own indefinite detention. You've drawn our wombats. Have you looked into it all, these Australian detention centres, which are offshore in a couple of small countries nearby, Molly?
I'm actually going to dedicate my speech at Sydney to an artist, an Iranian artist who's imprisoned at Manus Island. His name is Eden Fish. It's a pseudonym he goes by to avoid retaliation by the guards. And he's an extraordinary young cartoonist, only 24 years old, who is documenting the hideous conditions there. I think that the detention of migrants and the detention of refugees is one of the great injustices of the world. I actually think that the fact that me and you, that we can move freely around the world because we have the passports of rich countries, but that other people, you know, same as us, just because they hold passports from poor countries, are, you know, trapped to their little corner of the earth, and that if they want to travel, instead of getting on a plane like we do, they have to, you know, pay some smuggler their entire life savings to get on a rickety boat that they might die on.
You've seen the end point of these particular journeys. It's also interesting to see that you've gone to the start points in Syria where a lot of people are fleeing, drawing a few of the people who are thinking of taking these risks in order to get away from their home country. Can you tell us a few of the scenes that you've seen or sketched or the people you've met around there?
So, I have been to Syria briefly. I actually was drawing people in Iraqi Kurdistan.
Ah, yeah.
They were Syrians that had fled from ISIS and also from the Assad regime and from the bombings, from arrests, just from the whole panoply of horror that was happening in the war. They were largely Kurdish Syrians who had fled to this camp in the Dohuk province. while this camp was one of the better ones in the sense that there was food being given out, there's no future there. There's no schools. There's no real work. It's just living in the heat and the tents and the dust and your rations getting less and less and less each year as the world loses interest. And at a certain point, you think, is this going to be life? Am I going to spend my life and the life of my children also living under this hopeless tent? Or am I going and running through my savings until I have nothing? Or am I going to try to do something about it and try to make a new life? The big reason, the number one reason everyone I spoke to wanted to go to Europe was they wanted futures for their children. They wanted their children to have the opportunity to go to university, the opportunity to have decent lives and decent jobs. And I don't know how anyone can say, no, you don't deserve that just because of the piece of paper that you hold.
How does your art translate, say, over a photo of the, of an actual situation? Why pens? Why pencils? Why sketching? Why painting?
We live in the most image-saturated age in history. I think probably more photos are taken in 1 year now than in the first 70 years of this century. Of the last century. So while photography is, you know, incredible, incredible art form, it's also something that for a lot of people, you know, holds no mystery. People have all been photographed. They've all seen photographs. Whereas drawing, it's slow. Not a lot of people do it. It's something that's transparent. You know, photography happens inside the black box, whereas when I draw someone, they can see what I'm doing. If they think I'm doing a terrible job, they can mock me for it. And I think most of all, it shows the touch of the individual's eye, the individual's hand. It says, you know, I looked at this for a long time. Maybe you should look at it too.
As someone who works so much with the analog, do you have things like Snapchat? Do you, you know, send photos to people, put things up like that?
I don't have Snapchat. I have Twitter, which I'm in a super love-hate relationship with. I'm always like, I hate you, I hate you. And then something drags me back. It's like an abusive friendship, really. And I have Instagram for posting my art.
For
but
sure.
No Snapchat.
All right, well, you can follow Molly Crabapple on those as well, or check her out at the Melbourne Writers Festival, the Festival of Dangerous Ideas as well this weekend in Sydney as well. Molly, thanks so much for taking the time to come and chat to us on Triple J Breakfast this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. It's delightful.
No, we really appreciate it. Hopefully you'll run into some more wombats around the place. And all the
just
best.
Just watch out for the drop bears. You can kind of sketch those.
It up. All right, well, thanks very much, Molly. We really appreciate it, and best of luck for the rest of the tour.
It was an absolute pleasure. Bye, guys. Thank you.
Bye. Hope you're well. It's Thursday morning, and because it's Thursday, we do this.
Big Scary return with their third album, Animal. Am I thinking what I think I'm feeling? I feel like I've got the lifetime to say goodbye. Exploring the more primal sides of human nature, the Melbourne duo dig deep into some of the most challenging work they've ever produced. Ambitious and evocative. By Big Scary, our feature album on Triple J.
Oh, yes, and many people are scared of the dentist, and that is why we have called one up on the phone right now. My dad, the Daddy Mac, we're catching him somewhere sailing through Europe. Daddy-o, are you there?
Yes, I am. Guess where I am?
Where?
I'm between Cologne and Amsterdam.
Oh, okay.
But on the train or you're walking? How are you getting between it?
No, on the ship, on the River Rhine.
The River Rhine.
Man, well, that sounds very nice.
You're joining us via Skype at the moment, Mac. What can you see off the boat?
Oh, it's dark here now at night.
Okay. Well, what
I
could you see?
I can't see anything outside.
What could you see before it was dark?
Oh, fantastic views. Especially when we went through the Alps, we went on the Moselle River, and it was fantastic. Something that you should have that experience.
Any
it's quite interesting.
Interesting characters that you've met on the boat?
No, what I can say is that we had very good meals, everything, drinks and everything is all eat as you can and drink as you can. It doesn't matter. Any time at all during the day. It's more like a floating hotel.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I can describe it.
I bet.
I reckon Mac O'Kind walking up to that buffet would have a very good time.
Actually, today we had a very interesting experience. we went to the house where Beethoven was born.
Oh,
Beethoven's
until
house.
He was the age of four before he left that house. Yeah, Beethoven's house.
Okay, well, can you give us a quick review of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, Mac?
Oh, that would be difficult. One thing that we learned is that they couldn't reduce the size of CD because one of his symphonies takes 74 minutes. And therefore, if the CD is reduced less than present size, they won't be able to play that symphony.
So
that's one interesting thing we learned.
Because there's two sizes at the moment, 74 min and 80 min.
Okay.
All right, interesting stuff.
Well, sent you a CD, got you a disc couriered all the way over to the River Rhine.
Yeah. And also we've done a lot of wine tasting food tasting, trying things like escargot, truffles, frog legs. Frog legs.
How were they?
Oh, I didn't try it as such. I just looked at it.
Oh, Mac, come on. We needed your review.
But escargot was very good.
All right. Well, that'd be nice.
But the trip so far has been extremely very good. Oh. And there's so many people on the boat who are just lovely to mix with.
That's great. Well, look, it sounds like you're having an awesome time, mate.
But you can't just be holidaying and popping bottles all week. We need to put you to work, and that is reviewing our feature album this week from Big Scary. So we're going to play a song here, and we'll be back with a review from Mac O'Kine. This song is called Lone Bird. We'll see how many stars, how many frogs' legs out of five Mac O'Kine is giving this bad boy. You're on Triple J. Good morning.
Okay.
On Triple J, that was Lone Bird by Big Scary. It's off our feature album this week. And as we do every Thursday, we get one of our dads to review our feature album. And right now, it is my dad's turn, the Daddy Mac. But he's not standing next to the chicken coop in Brisbane as per usual. He is floating between Cologne and Amsterdam on a big giant hotel in the river. It's the Daddy Mac. How are you, mate?
Oh, going very well.
I bet. You can hear it in his voice.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you.
He's there. He's wine tasted. He's eating the food. You said you were wine tasting, Mac. When you taste wine, do you spit it out into the barrel or do you need to swallow it down to get that full effect?
Oh, I think you just swish it through in your mouth. And it should burn your mouth a tiny bit and then swallow it.
Okay, fair call. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, he swilled around the feature album this week from Big Scary, Animal. Where did you listen to it first, Mac?
I listened to it when I was in Bonn, in Germany.
Oh,
Bonn.
Well, there you go. And did you find was it just in the ship room that you have there, or did you have to find a special place to download it?
Yeah, actually, the cabins are just like hotel rooms. So you can't tell the difference.
So you just listen to it in your room?
Yeah.
A little hotel room party with Mac O'Kine. What did you think? Did you like Big Scary?
I think it's very interesting album. First of all, one thing I like about it is the lyrics are clear to understand. Mm. I mean, just like we are all animals with drives, edges, and instincts. I mean, it's sort of like an indie pop, garage rock type of music with piano, but a lot of the tracks are sort of catchy, likable, dance floor music. Track one, I think, has got a raving just like Bob Diddley. Have you heard about Bob Diddley before?
Bob Diddley?
Style of beat.
Yes.
Yeah, the beginning of the records gives me a feeling that is just like Bo Diddley's style of beat, you know,
okay,
which I find very pleasant to listen to.
Okay. What is the okind I spend most of my time with, Mac, gets taken away to different places in his mind, for example, a spider in a top hat playing a piano. What sort of imagery in your head does this album give you when you're listening to it?
It suddenly gives me trying to imagine animal instincts. The lion on the plains of looking for buffalo or something like that, that has been injured, you know.
Mm.
And of course,
and is it wearing a bow tie while it's doing it?
And have a meal.
All right. Well, the lion hunting down the injured buffalo. Let's find out how many stars the Daddy Mac gives it.
Matt's dad, Mac O'Kine, gives this week's feature album 3.5 out of 5 stars.
Oh, thank you so much, Mac. Good to see a good score coming, because Big Scary are actually going to be joining us after the 8 o'clock news this morning. And so nice to see that they've got a good solid score under their belts to enjoy on this Thursday morning.
And, Dad, I bet...
Hello.
Yeah, hello. Dad, I guess we better ask. You know, you're about to disembark in Amsterdam. Have you got any plans when you get to the capital city of the Netherlands?
We are going to the red light district.
Oh, you naughty boy.
For the night.
Oh, Mac. Okay. Didn't expect. I mean, I know Matt's told me about what he got up to, your son, when he was in Amsterdam.
I'm not the organizer of the whole thing. It's a tour director.
I understand perfectly, Mac.
Yeah. All of these things are out of your control. We understand, Dad.
Yep.
All right.
Just follow your animal instincts, Mac. That's all I'll advise you of.
All right, mate. Well, look, thanks for joining us and taking the time off. We'll let you get to bed. I know it's a bit late over there on your on the cruise. So we'll chat to you soon, and no doubt you'll be on home soil when we next talk.
Okay. Take care.
Okay, see you, Mac.
See you, Dad. Yeah, thanks for joining us. It is a Thursday morning. Very shortly, we're going to be chatting to Joe and Tom from Big Scary. Things could get slightly awkward because of a video that we put out recently with their song behind it. But
I love it so much. It's so good. Creates great imagery in the mind. We'll be getting to that in a moment. Before we do, a quick update on something that happened yesterday on the program. You might have been listening. We played you a song from a 24-year-old artist named Andreas Flores called Some Kind of Miracle. We told you the story about him putting together an EP and getting a diagnosis of acute myeloid leukemia. Didn't stop him trying to pursue his music career. Unfortunately, at the time, he was told by doctors as well afterwards that there was nothing more they could do for him. So to spend time with friends and family. And one of those friends joins us now with an update, but it's a pretty bittersweet one. Good morning to you, Isabel from Essendon.
Morning, Matt and Alex. How are you?
Well, thanks, Isabel. How are you?
Like everyone who knew Andreas, I'm pretty devastated, but at the same time, I've got a great sense of achievement, being able to get his song played on the radio.
Yeah, well, we played it yesterday about 8:15. Can you tell us what was happening around that time and then what happened afterwards?
So Andreas was in hospital at the Austin, and he was with his family and friends, and he got to listen to his song, and shortly after, he passed away.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's really sad stuff.
And you were actually going to visit him at the time as well. It was so, like, the amount of people who even got in touch when we were playing the song who knew Andreas seemed like an excellent guy as well.
Oh, of course. Andreas was just too perfect for this world. One of my favourite people. He was honestly one of the most beautiful people inside and out, and always the life of the party, always.
Mm. Well, we're really sorry to hear about what happened, but we're really thankful that we got to share his music yesterday with everyone that listens to Triple J.
Yeah, he got to follow his dreams and produce this song alongside Hearts as well, which was a great mate of his too. Some Kind of Miracle off the EP Delusions of Grandeur, which is actually available on like Spotify or iTunes if you want to check out Andreas Flores' work. Unfortunately, illness bringing short what was just the start of a career, but sounds like, Isabel, you mentioned to me off air that he was in a bit of pain, so it's, yeah, nice that that's ended for him as well and he's able to move on to whatever, you know, place there is next.
That's right, of course. And on behalf of everyone who loves Andreas, I'd just like to say thank you to Triple J for sharing his music with the rest of Australia.
Hey, Isabel, it's the absolute least
worries.
We can do.
Thank you, Andreas, for making it.
Pass it on the best to you and the friends and family of Andreas Flores. There's always have this music to listen to remind us of him.
Yeah, of course. And I'd just like to say that prior to his diagnosis, he'd like originally planned to travel to America and kick his EP off there. And I guess Andreas wanted his focus to be on his music rather than his illness. Definitely. And I suppose it was just this process that sped everything up because of his limited time. But, yeah.
No, you're absolutely right, Isabel. Isabel, we appreciate you chatting to us. And, yeah, have a great rest of your morning.
Thank you so much.
See you, Isabel.
On Triple J, Vampire Weekend with Holiday. Before it, Banks with Gemini Feed. You are on Triple J with Matt and Alex this morning. It's about 12 minutes past 8.
Yeah, and we're very excited because we've been loving all the tracks we've heard off the feature album this week. Animal is by a band called Big Scary, and the two members of that band, Joe and Tom, have just joined us in the studio. Hello.
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 Thanks for coming in, guys. Very nice to chat to you in this week, this momentous week where you're third album is coming out, I guess, technically. We've got the Animal been playing across the week, and now we're here to find out a little bit more about it. Are you feeling good this morning?
Feeling great, thank you.
Feeling good.
Well, that's good because...
Well, look, guys, I'm a bit worried, okay? I'm a bit worried, to be honest, because something happened a few weeks ago that set me off on a little tangent, and... You know, it was only as I was dressed up with eight legs, all with gloves on, in a suit, dancing like a spider, did it occur to me that maybe, you know, quite a touching song like The Opposite of Us didn't deserve the kind of spider
dance. Desecrated our art.
Yeah, exactly. So, because I always pictured a little spider, like, you know, dancing along the keyboard or the piano, and so... I just, yeah, that's where that came from. So have you seen the video that we made?
Yes.
All right. Well, I hope it wasn't too offensive to your art.
No, I just wish you'd made it the full length. That could be our video clip. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we could have teamed up on that one.
Well, such a delicate tune. One of many great ones from Animal. What do you picture, Todd, when you're playing that on the piano?
I don't know. What am I picturing? I'm just picturing the next chord, I think.
Definitely. Yeah,
nothing as intricate as spiders on the keyboard.
But, I mean, you know, animals aside, you wrote the song in The Opposite of Us. It's true. It is genuinely one of my favourite songs of the year. And, what was going through your head when you wrote it? If you weren't seeing spiders, what were you thinking about?
Well, the song started out as a jam between Joe and I, with just piano and drums, and I guess that set the mood of it in a sort of a bit of a lighter, more playful kind of feel with, you know, with had some, I feel like some strong love undertones could have been applied well. So, yeah, and when I sat down to write some words, this relationship scenario came along and a loving relationship and themes around letting your guard down for it to really blossom, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. It's tough to let the old guard down, isn't it? Why do we always have guards up? Where do they come from? Joe, can you shed any light?
Love games. I'm no good at them. I can't indulge.
You're no good at playing them, or you're no good at being a part of them?
Both. I can't play them and I can't respond to them in a classy manner.
Okay, so
the scoreboard is always a blowout. You're
totally.
Always at the bottom of the ladder. A bit of a bit of an Essendon Football Club sort of year for you, Joe.
Are you a texter? Are you a texter that's like, hey, what's going on? I don't understand what's happening here.
How many dots? Two dots? Three dots? Oh, no.
No question mark? Confused. Don't write back. You need that if the conversation's still flowing. Is there a bit too much green or grey or vice versa on your text screen, Joe?
Oh, that sounds advanced. Oh, yeah, the blue. The blue and the...
Blue, yep.
so much blue and then nothing back.
So, Tom, is that a theme that you feel like permeates this album?
A little bit, yeah. It's there's sort of a progression on the album. It is called Animal, and I guess it's kind of a bit of an evolution of the animal in that it starts out with these really base instincts and drives and progresses to these more nuanced emotional things like these relationships. And so the opposite of us is actually further back in the album, because that's sort of where it's reached emotionally, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, definitely. I guess the animal following a relationship as well. I mean, at the start it can be very lustful. You're just acting on instinct towards each other. Then you get into a bit of love, and then it's the nuances of the relationship where it's trust and just being together and very comfortable, and that guard coming all the way down. That's really interesting. And you were saying, Joe, that your mum has had a listen to the album. We got a 3.5-star review. Pretty good one. Pretty solid from Max O'Kine, Matt's dad, before 8. What about your mum's review of it?
I just got, it's interesting.
The interesting from the parents, yikes.
I might be misquoting. She might warm up towards the end of the album. That's kind of where I feel the parent love would come in. We've always been a very all generation friendly band, and maybe a bit of distaste from the older folk is okay.
Sure. Well, it makes you a bit edgier.
It can be a little bit difficult, can't it, being an artist, because at one point you need to, you know, expose yourself so much, and you're doing that for to the hope of reaching so many people. But there's also something in the back of your head that goes, oh, what's mum or dad going to think of this? You know, like you don't want them. You kind of feel a bit awkward sometimes talking about sex or drugs or rock and roll, you know, thinking that they might hear about it.
Well, we're going to play this song Oxygen here by Big Scary. I want you to have a listen closely to this particular song, and because we'll find out, you know, in a roundabout way what it's about after we play it. Here with Matt and Alex, hanging out with Tom and Joe from Big Scary, our feature artist this week.
That was Oxygen by Big Scary, and you're listening to Triple J.
Okay, so that was Joe, who you heard from the band Big Scary, joined by Tom in our studios. And guys, wondering, got to ask about that song, Oxygen. What is it about?
Apart from oxygen.
Yeah.
Lack of oxygen.
Lack of oxygen.
It's a lack of oxygen.
I'll just say that is a song about erotic asphyxiation.
Goodness.
Well, I mean, yes, there you go.
It's a phenomenon that happens in the world around us. So, I'm not sure how many songs in history have been about that particular topic. Wide ranging. Where do you get your influences for songs? Is it from the reading?
Wait, basically, he's wondering, is this a personal thing? That's what he wants
to
know.
Other songs on the album. Would there be other places that you get stuff from?
Well, I mean, I think this album in particular, I love my life, but my life can be vanilla, pretty vanilla at most of the time. And so, yeah, I do have to look outward for inspiration. And, so this is not a personal story, but I did enjoy writing words to it.
For sure. And I think it fits perfectly on the album next to Dog Collars and Whips and the title track, Suck My Toes. So, yeah, really, really works there. Tell us about, I'd be interested to know where we recorded these songs.
It was a year from start to finish for the whole album. We did a few weeks at this studio in Melbourne called
Headgap
Studios. And then we just sort of chipped away at it for a couple of months at our own studio space in Melbourne.
Okay, because you had an old little converted milk bar.
Yeah, yeah.
And you that wasn't doing it for you?
We lost the lease, but I think also towards the end, it's the kind of house where it rains and you lose power.
No.
And there's holes like dirt coming under the skirting board. And
you can't run the kettle and the toaster at the same time.
No, only one electrical appliance at any one time. just kind of a bit cramped when you're trying to have sweet, smooth workflow in the studio. So it was an incredible home and home to some creative projects that, you know, a lot of Australians would be familiar with, and we're really proud of that. But we've upgraded down the hill to a brand new studio.
Yeah, great. Well, tell us about looking at a few of the gigs you've got coming up. You're playing Yours and Ours Festival the start of October in about a month as well. Tell me about the live setup now for performing a few of these songs from Animal, because I think last time I saw you was at Falls and there was two people on stage. What is happening with Big Scary nowadays?
Well, we have added another, so there's five of us.
Well, three since you've seen us, but one since last headline tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's five of us on stage.
Why the extra person?
I think we wanted to, because it was still a bit of a stretch for the two guys, I think, trying to cover all the parts, and so we kind of wanted everyone to have less stress and more fun, and so yeah, just sort of have dedicated instruments, I suppose, and yeah, so one of our players, Gus Rigby, for example, he played lots of bass for us last time, but he's actually an incredible sax player, and he's played most of the sax on the record, so Gus is pretty much staying on the sax for most of the set.
For most of the set, okay.
Yeah.
Full-time sax. It's hot at the moment, the sax. Good solos happening. Now, also, I have to congratulate you. Understand about two or three months ago, Tom, you were the winner of Seinfeld Trivia.
How do you know that?
Well, you know, I got eyes all over the place, Tom. And,
it wasn't the trivia. It was the Mars bar eating contest.
Oh,
That was the bonus round of the trivia.
Were you eating it with a knife and fork, Tom?
Knife and fork, yeah. I beat Joe.
All right, there you go.
Who streamed ahead in the packet opening, but then I came through with the
swallowing
eating
of it.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Well, can eat a chalky bar, on a gig.
It's really difficult.
And we're looking forward to seeing you as well on your own headline tour with the five people. Bulk Sax is confirmed from Big Scary, kicking off in Brisbane on the 30th of September, heading through Sydney on the 1st of October, Melbourne, Perth and Adelaide get a Big Scary show as well. Have a great time, guys, and congratulations on Animal, your album, which we've been lucky enough to feature all this week, is actually out tomorrow. So that's beautiful stuff.
Thanks very much.
Thanks so much, guys.
See you later.
Breakfast with Matt and Alex on Triple J.